Welcome to Book Me Podcast, sponsored by Nimbus Publishing. I'm Lindsay Glode Raininbird. Join me as we journey through contemporary Canadian literature, reading as much as we can and chatting with authors, illustrators, and other bookish folk, celebrating our dynamic, diverse, and vibrant national literary scene as we go. So grab a snack, get cozy, break that binding, dog-ear those pages. Let's dig into it. Since we had such a blast recently on our KidLit episode, I've invited my friend and producer, Amanda Gallagher, back again to talk about summer reads. What books we're drawn to in the lazy, hazy days of summer, our top picks for you to bring along on your deck and beach reading. And since you can never have too many books, we'll end with what's at the top of our current summer to read pile. So get ready to add a whole bunch of books to yours as well. And we want to hear from you. So let us know on our socials what you're excited to read this summer. Welcome back to the podcast, Amanda.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming. So just to start it off, what kind of books do you like to read in the summer?
Well, pretty much anything. I think I've said this before, I'm a mood reader. But typically, I know a lot of people, they tend to gravitate towards, you know, those really fast, like beach reads. It might be romance. And some people have a big aversion to romance. I'm not one of those people. Like, I'll definitely read those. But I tend to want to read those in the wintertime. because everyone, you know how in the winter, there's always those books and it's like, oh, a bleak winter read. Like, it makes you, you know, in the vibe. It's snowy and cold. I'm like, no, give me the opposite. I've had enough snow. I've had enough darkness. So I flip it. And in the summertime, I find myself reading a lot more thrillers, horror, you know, because something about like the humidity and the, especially in Nova Scotia and the dog days of summer, like, don't you have that feeling like when it's really hot that when you're walking down the street, pretty much anyone you walk by could just sort of snap at
kill
any given
moment. Yeah.
I feel that way. I don't know if that's just my paranoia, but I just kind of feel that way. I feel that way about myself and I feel that way about the people around me. So it just sort of fits. And I go back to like that, the campfire stories, reading, you know, telling the kind of horror stories around the fire at night when you roast marshmallows, or if you're from here, Brothers Pepperoni.
Like, yeah, and just how heat can make you go mad.
Yeah. And it feels right. So that's most of the ones I read in the summertime are horror. What about you? I think you said you read like epically long books in the summer. Do you?
I'll read a little bit of everything because I'm also a mood reader. But yes, every summer I like to have at least one really thick, chunky boy to get me through. So last year I read To Paradise by Hanya Yanagihari. I don't know if I'm saying her name right, but it was like over 700 pages.
And a tome.
Yeah, a big tome. And this year I'm hoping to finally read Anne Marie MacDonald's Fane, which is, I think, close to 700 pages as well.
Yes, it is.
Yes, I like to get a really long book in. And then besides that, I just also drawn to thrillers, also drawn to something maybe a little bit more lighthearted. I just cycle through.
Yeah. Do you actually read on the beach? Is that a thing you do? I mean,
I try to read on the beach, but I have kids, so so that's always, Mom, look at this, look at that. And I was just like, okay, let me hold my chapter, please.
Yeah. I do like reading on the beach, but I have to have an adequate amount of shade.
And it cannot be a beach that has sand fleas.
But every beach has sand fleas.
I know. So no, I guess I don't read on the beach. I read on the deck. I'm a deck reader.
Yes. Oh my gosh. That is my favorite thing about reading in the summer. Our deck, you know, there's my backyard. There's like a lot of trees that are around the same height as the deck. And so at night when it starts to get a little bit cooler, putting on all the deck lights and just laying out and reading is probably one of my most favorite things to do.
It's such a vibe.
Yeah, especially with all the plants. And we're both plant people. So you've got
very
a lot
big
of like
plant people.
Yeah.
You need plants everywhere. The deers have been eating my entire garden though. So my deck is sadly woebegone.
Yeah, and the rain, the deer and the rain. If a deer made it up on my deck because it's high up, I'd be like, you know what, hon, you deserve to eat those strawberries.
Everybody knows my fight with the deer. Even my neighbor, she texted me yesterday and she's just like, there's a deer eating your flowers on your front yard. I was like, throw a rock at it.
Oh my gosh,
listen, I'm in Truro, we have so many deer, it's okay to throw a rock from time to time.
Okay. Questionable. We'll probably cut that. We don't need any animal cruelty questions. Okay. Anyways, moving on.
We'll probably cut that. No.
So what are you reading this summer, Lindsay?
Okay. I'm going to set this up in this way. So I have a read for like every type of reader.
Okay.
This is how I like to do it because I'm a mood reader. So it just has to be what you're into at the time. So if in the summertime you want to read a lighter, heartwarming story, right now I'm reading Leslie Crew's new book, A Recipe for a Good Life.
Ooh, I heard it. I'm excited to read this one.
Recipe for a Good Life, which is like the perfect read if you were a fan of Book Lovers by Emily Henry, which is, you know, hugely popular rom-com about an editor who goes to a small town and falls in love and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah. I like that book okay. But
I liked it.
Almost done Recipe for a Good Life, and I would say this is better. This is the story of a writer who's super blocked in the 1950s. She's a writer of mysteries and is kind of tired after her seventh book about the same male detective, tired of writing that story. So she tells her editor she's not going to write anymore at all, and they panic, send her to a retreat. The retreat is in Cape Breton and is a ramshackle little cabin that leaks and that doesn't have proper water. It's like rusty water coming out, doesn't have a real oven. So she's cooking on a wood stove.
Oh my goodness.
And so she's just like this Montreal city girl, goes to Cape Breton backwoods.
Fish out of water.
Fish out of water with her little dog, Pip, who's just like a sweet little dog. And then when she's there, she meets all of these just like salt of the earth type wonderful people. They're all just very funny characters, and they have, it's in the 1950s and it's rural, so they have what's called a party line, which I don't know if you know this, but I didn't know this. It's when you would ring through and everybody can be on the line at any one time.
Well, we had our version when we were teenagers. That was called party line too, when you would three-way call people,
but this is like the lines open. So you have to have a special ring from the operator to get to the person you want, but anybody could be listening. So one of the characters in this book is like a little old lady who always listens and then like spreads the gossip.
Aren't they always listening?
Yeah. And then, of course, there is also love in this story. So there's a big burly man who is wonderful named Wallace, who she meets. She's married, so we don't know what's going to happen, but her husband is like this actor who's terrible. So.
Yeah, he's not a good dude.
We don't root for him.
So if I'm not mistaken, this author, she was writing detective novels under a nom de plume, right? She's like writing under a male pseudonym.
Yes.
Because at the time that wouldn't have been. So she's just sick of it.
Well, I feel like they still do that where they just put initials down and it'll just apparently appeal to a broader audience.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
Men sometimes want to read men only.
Sometimes.
Well, they shouldn't.
No.
We should read everybody.
Yes, exactly.
But yes, it can appeal more broadly if you just use your initials.
And especially in the 1950s. And so, okay, I'm really excited to read this because I'm a sucker for those types of stories. Like even films, even if they're a little bit like cheesier, a little bit too sweet. I love that whole fish out of water, go to a small town, retreat, you're finding yourself. And then you've got this wild cast of characters that are just outlandish and very quirky. And like, there's always a few like seniors that are just like, I don't care. Like, I'm me. This is me.
That's
and
the type of senior I hope to be.
Me too. Me too. And I'm like, okay. Like, I'm writing notes. I'm like, this is the person that I need to evolve into. So I love that. And so you've just recently finished that, or are you?
I'm almost done. I've got about 100 pages. So
oh my gosh.
I'm just like, let's finish recording and I'll go read it really quick. No, just joking.
Amazing.
But it's Recipe for a Good Life. So it's kind of about, she goes to this place and realizes when she's there what she's missing for her life. So she thinks that when she gets there that she's going to miss all of these things in her life in the big city. But what she realizes actually is that there was so much missing from her city life. So,
yeah, it's like you have to lose yourself to find yourself kind of thing, and like going somewhere new. And yeah, I love that. And so, and also I feel like with Leslie Crew, you can't go wrong. Like a big one of hers is A Spoon Stealer. It's a fantastic book. And she most recently did a tour where she was going over to London. And
wasn't she stealing spoons?
Yeah, I think so. Don't tell anybody, but that's so cool and meta. And it's just, she's just beloved. by everyone who reads her. So definitely beloved pick
by
that.
All local readers. Yeah, actually, I've had several people tell me since I've been reading this and enjoying it that I should read Nosy Parker next. So I think that's what I'm going to do.
I love the cover of Nosy Parker. It has like very bright colors, and it's of that era of the woman's face with the glasses, the sunglasses on there. Yeah. And speaking of covers with women with sunglasses on it, like that reminds me, there's another cover of a book I wanted to talk about. It's a book that was published a couple years ago, 2021. It's a YA novel by a local writer, Alexandra Harrington, and it's called The Last Time I Saw Her. I work, as you know, with an initiative that helps youth empower other youth in digital spaces to engage with local books. And this book is beloved by all of the youth, especially the female teenagers that we have through the program, and they're just obsessed with it. And it's a summer thriller.
I love a summer thriller.
Yeah. So it's basically like in the blurb, it says like friends and family are pitted against each other after a tragic accident leaves behind shattered relationships and shocking secrets. A riveting novel by a new voice in teen fiction. It's been almost a year since Charlotte Romer set foot in her hometown of River John, Nova Scotia. She's been living at a boarding school hours away, safe from the trauma and broken relationships she left behind. All she has left in the small town is her older brother, Sean, who is struggling to keep the lights on in their rundown family home. Charlotte hasn't spoken to her best friend, Sophie, since the night she fled. It's not exactly a celebratory homecoming. On her first night home, Charlotte shows up unannounced to Sophie's 18th birthday party. The trickle-down effects of that decision haunt Charlotte for weeks, but when Charlotte reconnects with Sophie's ex-boyfriend, Max, the two of them begin to slowly unravel what happened the night of the accident the summer before.
Ooh, I know what you did last summer.
Kinda, yeah. The night that changed everything. Somebody knows something, and that somebody really doesn't want Charlotte and Max to figure it out. With a fast-paced, high-stakes plot, Alexandra Harrington's debut YA novel will leave readers breathless until the final shocking conclusion. So even the colors of the cover, it's just very bright and vibrant. It screams summer read. So pick that one up for sure.
I've seen that and have meant to read it. So I'm also very into reading YA. I like reading YA even as an adult.
Yeah.
I'm in touch with my younger self.
Yeah, I read a lot of YA.
I love coming of age. I love books about teenagers. I have a couple on my list about teenagers too. The first is Leo McKay Jr.'s new book, What Comes Echoing Back, which we actually just did an episode on. So you'll be keeping your eye out for that one.
Yeah,
it's coming out
next episode.
So you can hear all about that book. But just very quickly, it's about two teenagers, Sam and a boy named Robert, or he goes by his nickname Robot. And it's kind of about these horrible traumas that happen to them. One, Sam, the girl, gets viciously assaulted with a couple of her friends, and Robot accidentally kills somebody in a fist fight gone wrong. And it's about the way social media causes them to become more or become re-traumatized over and over. It doesn't let them forget what happened, and it kind of ruins their lives. But then it's also about the way they find each other and come together and use music to heal. Anyways, it's a great teenage story about friendship and a little bit of a darker side too.
Yeah. Okay, so I had heard of this book and I wanted to add it to my TBR, but I was like on the fence because I know it deals with sexual assault, which is
in a very careful, tender way.
Yes. Yeah. So that's always a wonder when you wonder about like a male author, you know, tackling this subject matter. But after today, and we were recording with Leo McKay Jr., and I just the way that he treats even talking about these characters, you just know it's handled with the utmost of care and consideration in everything that he does. And I'm so stoked hearing him talk about some of the background of this book to read this novel. Like, I can't wait to read it. I'm gonna like move it way up my TBR. So
yeah, we're full stands now. We're obsessed with him.
Yes. Just a great energy. You can tell he's been a high school teacher forever and
30
just like,
years.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's like a much awaited novel. He's been working on it for 10 years, apparently. So
yeah,
it definitely well worth the wait. And then I have one other YA book on my list that I plan to read and haven't yet, which is Angeline Bouley's Warrior Girl Unearthed. So if you read Firekeeper's Daughter, which was...
Loved that book.
A thriller, also written by an Indigenous author. So extra points.
Yes.
Extra points. That book, Firekeeper's Daughter, is amazing. It's very long, but it's amazing. And this is told from the twins in that book's point of view. They've grown up and now they're teenagers.
What?
Yeah.
How did I not know this? Okay.
Yeah. So it's in the same universe. It's the same characters. And it's just like following these two twins as I think something happens like with graves and like artifacts being stolen. I'm not 100% sure, but if it's by the same author of Firekeeper's Daughter, if it's in the same world, then I'm down to read it.
Amazing. Okay. Yes. Okay. So here's the thing with Firekeeper's Daughter. I just read that like a couple months ago. It was on my TBR forever. And you know, books get buried. And I was like,
same.
I need to bring this up. I only read it last year too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I actually like bought it with my book, my big book outlet haul.
Yeah.
So I was like, yes, getting a great deal on this hardcover. I'm so excited to read this. And I just loved it. Like the voice very much echoed. I felt like the voices of the teens in the show Reservation Dogs. Like they
best show ever.
Yeah, yes. Amazing show. I love Taika Waititi. Like I love that show. I love the characters. I love the actors. It's just so well done. Everyone check out the show. But it felt like that character could belong in that universe for sure. But then they have this whole like crime thing going on and mm-hmm. the mystery and the intrigue. And
yeah, there's a lot of twists that I wasn't expecting in that book.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's awesome to have a lot of different facets,
yeah.
different characters that aren't stereotypical to the average
yes.
native youth. Like I love to see all the different type of person that can be like, doesn't matter. Indigenous.
Exactly.
You're just a million times a different way of being indigenous.
Yes, right? Yes. But I felt like some of those specific things, the way they were addressed, were not what you see in some of those mainstream mm-hmm. books that are coming out. And it was just nice to see what I felt was like a more realistic take. But, and I was like, yes, yes.
She's super talented, yeah. writer. So I'm excited to see what her next book is about.
Yeah, me too. That sounds amazing. I'm writing that one down. Do you have any like nonfiction books that you were...
Yeah, so I'm a big memoir reader, and the biggest memoir that has come out recently for us locally, obviously, is Elliot Page, mm-hmm. Page Boy.
Mm-hmm.
We love Elliot Page. I love Elliot Page.
I love Elliot Page.
I love all of his movies. I love all of his activism and what he stands for. So this was one of the biggest books on my to read this summer, and
yeah.
I got it immediately.
Same.
So I've already read it. It's really good. So of course it does have a few things that bothered me. So going in, you should know that it is structurally not a linear timeline, and that may bother people. It kind of jumps around a lot, so it can be confusing. But if you go in knowing that,
yeah.
you'll just be able to appreciate all the different stories from his life, childhood, and also just the way he exposes what has happened to him as a queer person in Hollywood.
Yeah.
The way that they've tried to put him in a box and force him to be a certain way. And then the peace and everything that has come when he's able to just embrace the person he is and be embraced for that publicly.
Yeah. Yeah. And same with the structure. It read like a bunch of essays that had been kind of like threaded together mm-hmm. that didn't quite mesh in the way that you would like that fluid, you know, that fluid flow to be. But I was okay with that. Like, I mean, so side note, Elliot Page's mom was my French teacher in elementary school. So my connection was like, oh, this is really interesting. Like I always was aware of Elliot even when he was a child, like actor, and hearing stories from his mother about him acting in like Pit Pony and like these other shows at a very young age. So, and then she was always like, Elliot's gonna blow up. And then I was like, okay, everyone thinks their kid's gonna be famous. And then sure enough, like famous.
Big star.
Big star. Anyways, so that was really interesting. And there was a really beautiful evolution I found with him and his mother's relationship throughout all of these things that were going on with mm-hmm. him finding his identity and really coming to terms with that himself within Hollywood in the public eye. And there's just so many. I just think no matter what, it's a really important read and a vital read. I have a hard time reviewing a memoir as like I would a fiction, because it's like you're bearing your life and your heart on a page and your soul and everything that's happened to you. So it takes a certain amount of like bravery to put that out there into the world. So I look at it in a bit of a different way. Like if I was reviewing the structure of it, I would give it like a 3.5 out of 5. If I'm reviewing it in terms of like my enjoyment of it and just like the importance of telling that type of story, because there's not a lot of trans voices coming out of Hollywood,
no.
You know, and I really love, you know, hearing about some of these elements throughout the course of those very tender moments of life when you're coming of age, you know? And so I would rate it like a 4.5, you
and
know?
And also how there was a real journey getting to where he is today. And I think that that opens up a conversation for people to just be okay with not being sure all the time. The story itself is so beautifully told and important. And I think everybody locally should take the chance to read it.
Especially
for sure.
Locally. Okay, so for people not from here, it will read as like Nova Scotians are just obsessed with ketchup chips. And there's lots of really nifty little things that like Nova Scotian people do. There really is like
not
a kind
everybody
of,
here likes ketchup chips.
I know.
Okay, I hate ketchup chips.
We've established when we were chatting about this before that Lindsay loves ketchup and hates ketchup chips. And I don't like ketchup and like ketchup chips. So we're like.
So take of that what you will.
Yeah, there's diversity here, guys.
Guys. But very nuanced.
But I did like how he, like in the essay is just one final point. Like he would talk about, because a lot of the settings were places near to where I grew up or went to high school. And so I knew the street names and I knew the places, the exact building and houses that he was talking about growing up in. But he doesn't explain like where that is. So there's a lot of like really nice Easter eggs for local people. You'll be like, oh, I know what that is. I know where that is. I know where that lake is. I know where he's going. So from that alone, it's interesting. And for people not from here, I think it will be like, it's almost like we were talking about earlier, going to that little small town and like having that view into a different lifestyle. It'll be like kind of quirky and interesting.
Yeah. And also if you're just into Hollywood memoirs, he does a lot of kissing and telling.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So we've gotten memoirs and we've gotten lighthearted reads. You talked about how you like thrillers. So what is a thriller you have read or excited to read this summer?
Ooh, okay. So there's one for each. The excited to read one, and it's a local book published by Nimbus. It's called Beneath Her Skin by C.S. Porter. So this book sounds really interesting. It's a mystery, and I guess I could just read the blurb because I haven't read the book and I'm going to do a terrible job of paraphrasing it, but it's when a small East Coast town falls prey to a series of shocking murders, city homicide detective Kes Morris is called in to lead the case with the aid of the local precinct. As usual, she's the only woman in the room and must draw on the lessons passed down by her detective father, a furtive and dangerous practice of going deep inside the killer's mind to put on their skin. Just a side. I love that. But when Kes uncovers is a web of gruesome crimes reaching back decades in a town that may have been complicit. With a reputation of being hard, relentless, and unbending to authority, she finds herself on the hunt for a killer seeking brutal retribution, someone who takes sadistic pleasure in death and who wants their work seen. The farther she follows the trail, the more the line blurs between guilt and innocence, predator and prey. An atmospheric thriller with complex characters, Beneath Her Skin signals the emergence of a bold new voice in crime fiction and a dark and thrilling new series. So, that's supposed to be a debut novel by this author, C.S. Porter, but then there's like a double mystery here because this author, we don't know who they are. And the description of the author on the back, their bio, it says, this is C.S. Porter's debut novel. Okay. A solitary writer who lives near the Atlantic Ocean. It is rumored he or she was once involved in crime investigation. And that Porter suffered an immense personal loss, that they came from the U.S. or U.K. and grew up in these parts. Age unknown, author has never been interviewed.
Ooh.
So it's like, who is this person?
Mystery upon mystery upon mystery.
And I love intrigue. I'm like, I like
intrigue.
I'm a person who like, I don't know how much I want to say about this, but I'm like a person who can find things about people online very easily. And I kind of can
like
go down.
She's like a hacker girl. She's at her computer.
Yeah.
And you just see the numbers flying by on the screen. Yeah.
I am in the court dockets often. I am in the registry of joint stocks often. So like,
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah. It's the business registry for every register business. So if you want to know like who owns something, you can look up their registry.
Right. So do you know who this author is? Is that what you're saying? You're going to keep it to yourself.
I'm going to keep it to myself.
The mystery has been solved.
No, I'm going to keep it to myself. I think this sounds amazing. The idea of, you know, going putting yourself in the mind of a killer and like going a little, those blurred lines, are they going to go too far? Are they going to go too deep? That cat and mouse kind of game with a killer. Love it. Like I'm big into that, especially if it's fiction. Cause sometimes I do like true crime, particularly more so in documentary form, but I sometimes feel like really icky being a bystander in some of that stuff. Whereas if it's fiction, you can just dive in and be like, I don't have to feel guilty.
I'm reading one right now called The Quiet Tenant, which has been really big on Bookstagram. It just came out and it's about a serial killer and told through the point of view of the women surrounding him. So one is locked in his shed and then one is maybe starting a romance with him. So it's been good so far. I love myself a little thriller.
Amazing. And so that's a local book that I want to read. That's a thriller this summer. But from the standpoint of a book that I've already read, and I know it's one that you've read too.
And love.
I highly, highly recommend reading Bad Cree this summer. I talked about that vibe of sitting around a fire and telling a spooky story. Well, don't read this one in the woods, folks. You don't want to.
Don't read this on your camping trip.
Yeah. So do you want to, like, you're really good at summarizing. Do you want to kind of give like a brief summary of like what your take of the overall?
Okay. So Bad Cree is about kind of a younger woman who has been living in the city away from her family and away from the reserve. And she starts having these strange dreams where she falls asleep and wakes up and she's brought something back from the dream world. So reality is slanted and boundaries are being pushed. Anyway, it gets steadily worse and scarier, and she decides she finally has to get some real input. So she goes home to her family, which is just all women, her like mom, her aunts, her grandma, her female cousins. And it's just in the midst of this like scary thriller. It's not that scary, by the way. So if you are not good with horror, this is a really good one to take up because it's scary, but more in an atmospheric way, not in a gory, creepy unnerving way. Yeah, it's very unnerving.
Yeah.
And then in the midst of that is just like this beautiful interaction between women and just a family and the people that you leave behind and the things you find out when you come home and you're more open with the people around you. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Cause the evolution of the character, I don't think it's giving too much away. She's a little more closed and distant for certain reasons at the beginning of the book. And then it sort of evolves as she needs more help and like letting her family members back in. That whole thing about the power of matrilineal line, and passing the knowledge down from generations and knowledge keeping and sharing, like it's just such a beautiful depiction.
So she loses her cousin, I think it is. So she loses her cousin and it's a little bit about what happened really. What's the story behind her cousin? Like what happened to her in the woods and what caused her to be lost?
Yes, the story is unfolding about that and how that how that intersects with these dreams.
Exactly. We're trying
and the
not to give it away.
We can't give it away. I know. And maybe I'll decide to cut this out later, but there is some mythology around a creature that is very well known if you run in mythology circles and you...
Something's in the woods.
Yeah. And we don't want to mention what it is. We don't want to draw bad energy to us, but you will learn as you go along. It's super engrossing. I read this so I'm not a person who ever gets... I'm always searching for stuff to scare me because I don't easily get scared ever. I get scared about real life people and like what they're capable of, but not so much like movies and books. So horror movies, they don't really get me. But I read this when my partner was away. It was at night. Everything in my house was dark and it was really late at night and I was reading in bed and I was just like, I had one little light on and I got to a certain part, like it was the latter third of the book. And I remember getting like goosebumps on my arms and I was like, ooh, it was just so well written and well told and how chilling it was. It wasn't like a jump out of your skin jump scares. It was just like that gradual feeling of being like, ooh, like.
So you something. Like to be scared, but I'm the opposite. I don't want to be scared. When I was a child, I slept with the light on. I was afraid of something being under my bed. I had lots of coping mechanisms to fall asleep.
Oh, you sound like Graham, my partner. Yeah, he's the same way.
No, and there's been so many, like I was afraid of E.T., okay? Like I can't, E.T. scared me. I hate E.T.
E.T.'s a polarizing figure in pop culture. You either love him or you hate him. Exactly. And the people who hate him it's like a trauma.
Finger? No, thank you. Anyway, this was the perfect amount of horror for me.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If you're a wimp, it's perfect. If you like more horror scariness, it's also perfect.
It's not pure horror. And that's the beauty of it. It's so much more than a horror story. It tells so much more. And there's her character really evolves throughout the story. And yeah, just can't say enough good things about it. So I highly recommend reading that one. Maybe not in the woods if you're easily afraid.
Not on your camping trip. Officially not on your camping trip.
No, you don't want that.
But if you're on vacation and you want to maybe have a book to read beside the lake, I have a 5-star read that I absolutely adored.
Ooh, it's five.
5-star. It was one of my favorite books that I've read this year. It's by Tim Ryan. It's called East Grand Lake, put out, I think, in Calgary by a small press, by the University of Alberta Press or something. So it's a very small book, and I don't think it's gotten as much attention as it deserves. It's basically 14 short stories told from the perspectives of all these different people in one family who have come together at their grandfather's lake house. So you have a kid that won't leave his car, but you don't know why. Mm-hmm. You've got another little kid who's having a tea party and listening in on the adults around them's conversation because she's kind of forgotten there. You've got a little kid who's afraid to jump in the water and how he overcomes that. And then you just have like all of these different adults and how they interact with each other. And it's all the things you don't necessarily see or know because it's all happening simultaneously and you get to see the different perspectives as they go through. Anyways, it was just a very quiet, beautiful, like still water on a lake before somebody jumps in type book.
Ooh, that sounds amazing.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that's a great one.
Short stories, we didn't really say this, but like having a compilation or an anthology series for the summer is really great because a lot of times you're on the move, things are hot, you don't want to sit in the sun too long, but you want to have that kind of downtime so you can just kind of pick it back up and down as you like. So I always recommend having like a short story, like a book of short stories on your list for the summer and just bringing it everywhere you go.
Yeah, I love a book that's like technically short stories, but they all kind of meld into each other to have like a bigger almost feel of a novel. So the other one I really love that is like that is Morgan Talty's book, Night of the Living Res.
Yeah.
Which is all stories about this one guy named David. And it's a little bit horrible and creepy and some of the things that happened in that book too. But overall, it's just like a really beautiful story.
Love a book that feels like short stories that you can kind of pick it up and down at any time, but everything flows together in a grander narrative, which is beautiful. In terms of local, do you have any other books that are on your radar for the summer? Maybe backlist, anything that you're looking at?
Yeah, so it's pretty well known now that I like kind of like a weird, unnerving type of book. So on my list to read this summer is Harriet Alida Lai's The Honey Farm.
Ooh, yeah.
Which is about two people who go to kind of like an artist's retreat type of farm where I think they're supposed to work and then also have creative time. And then there's all sorts of strange things happening, like weird, creepy stuff and maybe like end of the world stuff. I don't know.
Ooh.
But it feels like it's going to be like environmentalism / creepiness / maybe something sinister is brewing. I'm not sure, but I like the vibe.
I love sinister as a word description. I'm like, okay, yes, sign me up. And Harriet Alida Lai, who did Serge the Snail Without a Shell that we talked about in our...
Which was a children's book.
Children's book.
Yeah, this is episode. Her fiction. Yeah. Adult fiction, yeah.
Which she wrote long before she wrote this most recent children's book.
Yeah, this is 2018.
Book. Yes.
The Honey Farm is from.
Amazing. Yeah, and the cover of that one is gorgeous.
Actually, just to tie it into everything... There's a part in Elliot Page's memoir where he talks about going to like kind of a retreat where you learn to live in the back, like there's like it's off the grid completely and he learns to live off the grid. And this is kind of like that. Like, what if this was where he went?
Yes. And I think anyone who is feeling a little bit of discomfort with the way that the world is becoming has that like backup plan of living off the grid. So there might be some tips.
Yeah. Don't know. We'll see.
Well, you never
know. Report back.
Yeah. And you were talking about Hold My Girl by Charlene Carr as well. That's also on my TBR.
That's on your TBR. I've already read it.
Oh.
Charlene Carr's Hold My Girl is about two women who get kind of a switch happen in their IVF treatment.
Okay, so she's carrying the child.
Okay. So it's about two women.
Yeah.
They find out that during their IVF treatments that their eggs were switched by a nurse.
Right.
They don't know why. And so the book is about this little girl that I think is like 1 year old or something like that. And it's about the two mothers who have connection and ownership for her and mm-hmm. want to claim her. And then about the court case that goes through about kind of like how do you decide like what should happen? Should they both have like equal custody?
Oh my gosh.
Is one belong? Like there's also like so much in it about like race and class, because the moms are so different. One's black, upper class, like has more money. The other one is like a little bit more struggling, lower class, white, and the child is white. And so there's all these, Charlene Carr just does such an amazing job of weaving all these different topics and issues and making you believe in both of them. So
yeah,
she had this amazing way of like, it's told in differing point of views. So each chapter is the different mom. And you go back and forth. Like, I couldn't figure out who I wanted to have this kid. Like, I couldn't figure it out. Like, when I was reading from the one mom, I was like, no, this is her child. Obviously, she carried her. It's hers. Even if biologically, it's not. It still is. And then the other one, you get in her point of view and you believe everything for her, too. And you want everything for her, too. And it's just like, she did an amazing job with
That's amazing. I had this one on my TBR for a while. But when I heard you talk, I think I heard you talk about it during one of the podcast episodes. Maybe when you were talking to Becca Babcock. You were talking to Becca Babcock about it. And you were talking about creating characters that there is more of like a morally gray situation where it's not like an antagonist and a protagonist. It's like, okay, like you can.
Yes, I remember that.
And I immediately moved it up my list because I am really drawn towards those types of character depictions. Like, I don't think it feels like a very American thing in film, like where you have to have like a bad guy and a good guy and like that classical, which is also like very enmeshed with race relations as well. So, yeah. But regardless, like I like when you can show, you know, an antagonist have these qualities that you're like, oh, wait a second. Like, maybe I do have empathy for this person. And like, because people are complex and they do have a lot of different facets, and good people are capable of bad things and vice versa. And like, there's no good or bad, like on that base level, you know, and it's all about really about circumstance and what you're facing in your life.
Unthinkable situations that have no right or wrong to them.
Exactly. So this idea too, and that very specific circumstance that these women have been placed in, like my head just kind of like hurts trying to imagine what that would be like for either of those characters. So to tackle that as an author, you have to have a tremendous amount of skill. And I've just heard nothing but amazing things about this book. So I'm really excited to read it and then chat about it with you again.
Yeah. And Charlene Carr, I actually saw some things that she had said about writing this book and how this was a very real fear of hers because she went through IVF treatment. And she had just this like horrible nagging thought in her mind, like, what if it's not my child?
Right. Wow. Okay. Yeah. So everyone pick up Hold My Girl.
Yeah. Hold My Girl.
By Charlene Carr. A great summer read. And I think like we've run out of time. We could talk about a million other books, but that's a lot for you guys to pick up. And yeah. And soon, if you're really interested in hearing about one of the books we featured today, What Comes Echoing Back, next podcast episode, Leo McKay will be on the show. And
Leo McKay Jr. will be here to talk about What Comes Echoing Back and the characters and his writing, his long trip to making this book happen over 10 years.
Yeah. Which just shows how much care he took in writing it, which is amazing.
So tune in for that.
And thank you for having me again.
Thank you for being here. I always enjoy chatting with you about books.
Yes, exactly. We do it enough off of the recording, so we might as well just press record at the same time.
Exactly. And don't forget to come on our socials, Instagram, Facebook, and tell us what you're reading or what you think we should be reading this summer.
Oh, yeah. We want your summer read recommendations. So comment and like give them all to us, mainly on Instagram.
Mainly Insta.
At Book Me Podcast.
If you're enjoying the podcast, please rate and review us, and don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And thank you for listening and hanging out with us. Join me next time on this book lover's journey as we try to read more, read Canadian, read local. You know, all the good things.